Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Beis 52. We are going to pick up from the second line and daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph 52a from the words of Savrei Beis Shammai. Yesterday we began Perek Elu Dvarim. We began the eighth Perek in Maseches Brachos. The eighth Perek Maseches Brachos starts off with eight differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with regard to the halachas of a Suda. Certainly we know there are a lot more than eight differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. With regard to a Suda, the Mishnah listed eight differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara begins by V'savrei Beis Shammai de'brichas hayayim madifa, because again, if you remember, the first one of the discussions in the Mishnah was whether or not you should make the bracha on Yayin first, or perhaps you should make the bracha of Kiddush HaYayin first. And that was a discussion we had yesterday, and the difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether we'll say Tadr V'sheinet Tadr Tadr Kaidem, or perhaps because the day itself is what gives the whole reason for making Kiddush, perhaps you should make Kiddush first. That was the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and ultimately the Gemara paskind like Beis Hillel. We had a discussion about a baskal and whether or not this Gemara happened before the baskal, or perhaps even if it was after the baskal, we just don't listen to a baskal. But the underlying premise over here is that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Birchas Hayoim, the bracha on the day, will come first, and the bracha on the Yayin, the Bar Pri Agafen, will come second. So the Gemara is going to ask Akasha to show an inconsistency in Beis Shammai with regard to that opinion. But Tanya, have we not learned in a brisa hanichnas lebeisav b'motzei Shabbos? Someone walks into his house on Motzei Shabbos, mevarach al yayin. He makes a bracha al yayin, v'al hamar, v'al abesamim, v'achar kach emar havdalah. So the underlying premise over here is that havdalah and kiddush are going to be the same thing. And just like by kiddush, you have a bracha of bari pri agafen, and you have a bracha on the kiddush hayayim. The same thing is true by havdalah. You have a bari pri agafen, and you have, it's not Kiddush Hayayim, it's Havdalah. But the understanding of the Gemara is, at this point at least, that they are exactly the same. And just like whatever order you would do for Kiddush, you do the same thing for Havdalah. And here we have a problem where clearly the Brice indicates that Havdalah comes last. The guy comes home, says clearly, Anithnas Labesiv Mitzay Shabbos. Somebody walks into his house on Mitzay Shabbos, Nevorech Ala Yayin. He begins by making a bracha ala yayin, ala ma'ar, which is bari maria eish, ala basamim, which is the bracha on basamim, and the achar kach, aymer avdala. Afterwards, let's say avdala. The imein lai ela kais echad. What if the person only has one kais? Manichai la'achar hamazain. He keeps it until after he eats. Umishalshlin kula la'acharav, and he'll be mishalshed all of it to afterwards. So this is assuming that he's going to be eating on Matzah Shabbos, he's going to want a bench as well. So he's going to want a bench on Matzah Shabbos. And he's going to want to have a kais when he benches. So, in such a case, the Gemara says, the Brisa says, you should leave it until after he finishes eating. And he waits until afterwards for everything. So the Gemara seems to find a problem over here, that the Brisa says, you should make the bracha, the Havdalah bracha, at the end. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, why is this the problem for Beis Shammai? Well, who says that this brisa has anything to do with Beis Shammai? Umimai de Beis Shammai, who said that this brisa is related to Beis Shammai at all? Dilma Beis Hillel, maybe you're right. This brisa just is going in accordance of the opinion of Beis Hillel. And that's it. It has nothing to do with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai maintains their opinion. They always say the bracha of the yom, whether it's Kiddush or it's going to be Havdalah, that will go first. And Havdalah would go first as well. And this brisa simply is just not going according to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Gemara says, "Lahi, it can't. Lahi sakadaitach. We can't possibly think that this brisa does not go with Beis Shammai. The Katani, it says in that brisa, me'ar. First you make bayrim ayra ha'esh, the achar kach besamim. You first make bayrim ayra ha'esh, and then afterwards you make the bracha on besamim. Uman shamat le de isli ha'svara. Who do we know that says first make bayrim ayra ha'esh and then besamim?" Beis Shammai, it's Beis Shammai. The Tanya, for we learned in Rice Amr of Yehuda, le nechleku Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel al mazin shebetchila v'al avdal shebesayif. Everyone, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, agree that mazin will come first. The bracha on the mazayin will come first, and havdalah will be all the way at the end. They disagree on the order of bayrim ayre eish and the bracha ar besamim. The shami ayrim ma'ar va'achakach besamim. So this is the important line. The shami says that first comes bayrim ayre eish and then besamim. The besil ayrim besamim va'achakach ma'ar. First you make your bracha on besamim. And then you make the bracha on Ma'ir Ha'esh, and then you'll follow that with your bracha of Havdalah. So now, clearly, Beis Shammai is the one who says that what comes first is Ma'ar V'achakach B'samim. Now go back to this brisa and read the brisa again. Hanichnas Lebeisa, someone comes into his house, B'maitzoy Shabbos, Mevarach Alayayin. First you make the bracha Alayayin, V'al Hama'ar. First, Bayer Maria Eish, V'al B'samim. And then say Bayer Maria B'samim. That opinion is the opinion of Beis Shammai as we see it in another place. So clearly it has to be that price is going in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai, not Beis Hillel. And here clearly we see that Yayin comes first, and then afterwards, only at the end, we make the bracha of Havdalah, which seems to contradict what we learn in our Mishnah. Now you have to hold your head together over here because we're going to go on a bit of a spin. So the Gemara says, all right, that sounds good. Who says that that's Beis Shammai? V'ali b'dei Rabbi Yehuda. And you're going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Dilma Beis Hillel hi. Maybe that brisa is the opinion of Beis Hillel. And still, V'ali b'dei Rabbi Meir. And it's going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the town of our Mishnah. We're going to see on the other side of this Amud, that our Mishnah is Rav Meir. So who said that again, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda discusses Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel's Machlaikis in that fashion, where the Machlaikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is in the order of Bari Ma'ari Ha'esh and Bari Minei B'samim, that's only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But clearly in our Mishnah, doesn't seem to say like that, because our Mishnah says, Beis Hillel Emrim Ner U'Besamim. Right? Ner u'besamim. Mazayin v'havdala. So clearly our Mishnah is going in the other order. Beis Shammai, that's the wrong place. Now I just was going back to the Mishnah to point to where the opinion of Rav Meir is. So Gemara says, Leis l'akadayt, it cannot possibly be that brisa that we mentioned at the top of our Amud is going according to Beis Hillel and according to the opinion of Rav Meir, the Katani Hachav Masnisin Beis Shammai Imrim Ner Umazayin Ubisamim V'Havdala Beis Hillel Imrim Ner Besamim Mazayin V'Havdala V'Hasan V'Brayse Katani and Mainly Elikayis Echav Anichal Achar Amazayin Mushashan Kulul Acharav Shema Minod Beis Shammai Hivaliv Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah is showing clearly that our Mishnah is not going to be able to fit with it because of the way that Brayse ends off. So again, the Katani Hacha in our Mishnah, it says, Beis Shammai Imrim Ner, first the candle, then Mazai, then Besamim, then Avdala, and then Beis Hillel says, Ner, Besamim, Mazai, Avdala, Vasim, Rabbis, Katani, mainly Elikai Secha, Minichil Achar, Mazai, Mushashim, Kul Nacharav. You leave it all the way till the end. So clearly it's not going to work with our Mishnah, in the opinion of Beis Hillel, according to Rav Meir, if we're able to keep this all together. So it can't be our Mishnah. It can't be that brisa at the top of the page really coincides with our Mishnah according to the opinion of Beis Hillel in the opinion of Rav Meir. Rather, it must be that brisa at the top of our page goes in accordance of the opinion of Beis Shammai in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And now, we're getting back to our question, Mikalmakam Kasha. So after we establish that to be a fact, that indeed, the brisa at the top of our page does follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, and it follows the opinion of Beis Shammai according to Rav Yehuda. Now we have a problem. Why is it that in our Mishnah it seems to say that Beis Shammai always says you're going to make the bracha on the yayim first, and only afterwards you're going to make the yayin? Clearly in that brisa it says that first you make the bracha on the yayin, and then Avdala. So the Gemara says, Kasavre Beis Shammai shani iyu liyayma miyafuki yayma. There's a difference between when Shabbos comes in and when Shabbos goes out. Ayuli yoma kama de makdaminon adif afuki yoma kama de machrinon le adif. we're trying to accomplish two different things. At the beginning of Shabbos, when you make Kiddush, there's a mitzvah of Tetz Nefesh Shabbos. So you want to bring Shabbos in as early as possible. So why wait until after your Hakafen to be Mekadosh the Yoyim? You may as well be Mekadosh the Yoyim as early as possible. So therefore, be Mekadosh the Yoyim right away and only make your Hakafen afterwards. On the end of Shabbos, says Beis Shammai, we have no problem flipping it around. Make your Hagafen first. You can make a Hagafen all Shabbos. It doesn't end your Shabbos. Your Havdalah, we're going to push off until the end of your Havdalah ceremony, which is going to make your Shabbos last a little bit longer. Kihechi, Deloi, Lahavi Alon Kemasai. So Shabbos should not look like it's a burden on us, and we therefore push it off as long as possible. It's very interesting, actually, in halacha, we find that this is brought down lahalacha. And in Siman Reish Tzadik Gimel, in Shulchan Aruch it talks about pushing off the end of Shabbos a little bit. And you see that even if what would seem to be a very small, insignificant amount of time, again, it's, first of all, any amount of time is a Tosefes Shabbos. Both at the beginning and at the end, any amount of time counts as Tosefes Shabbos. And besides for that, it's more, like, as the Gemara seems to indicate, it's more, the idea over here is more the what you're trying to show about your view of Shabbos. If you're trying to get rid of Shabbos as soon as possible by making that bracha first, that's what Beis Shammai is coming to avoid, to push it off as much as possible. And this goes so far as the minig to stretch out the word, v'hu rachum. You're stretching out one word, all of 1.5 seconds. But there are those who stretch out the word of Hurachum. In our shul, we have the minug, which is actually brought down in the Shabur for this reason, to sing Mizmeirei Tehillim before Meirev starts on Matzoi Shabbos. So if anybody was ever wondering, what is that people are doing before Meirev? That's what it's all about. It's about ending Shabbos. And the truth is, the point is, to push off Meirev just a little bit with a Mizmor Tehillim, and to add on, to be Meisif Mechael HaKadosh, to add some extra time to Shabbos, which is really what Beis Shammai is coming to address over here. And that's why Beis Shammai would say, even though they think it would be appropriate for you to make the Berachas HaYoyim before making the Havdalah, make the Berachas HaYoyim before making the Hagafen, that's only at the beginning of Shabbos. But at the end of Shabbos, make the Hagafen first and push off the Havdalah from Shabbos as much as possible. Now the Gemara challenges that Vasavri Bishamay Birchas HaMazon to Nakais. Just on the general idea, the whole idea of needing a Kais for Havdalah is something which the Gemara challenges. Votnan, Balen Yayin Achar HaMazon. Im ein sham el oisay kais, they brought wine. This appears at the end of our Mishnah. This is the eighth machlokes that we had in our Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It says in the Mishnah, balan yayin lachar hamazon, and they brought wine at the end of the meal. Im ein sham el oisay kais, if they only have that one cup, so you can't drink it now and make havdalah on that cup. Beis Shammai omer mevarach al yayin v'achar kach mevarach al hamazon. First, make the bracha on the yayin in the middle of the meal, and then bench. So clearly, if you made the bracha on the wine at the end of the meal before you benched, you drank the cup of wine, and you'll not have a cup of wine left to make havdalah, because you only have this one kais. It must be talking about a case where you can make a bracha on it. And drink it. No, you'll make a bracha on it, but you won't drink it, you'll just leave it. How could it be that you're going to make a bracha on this cup of wine and you're not going to drink it? The Mevarach, the one who makes Kiddush on a cup of wine, says clearly you have to drink it, and this is brought down Lalacha, that the one who makes Kiddush has to actually drink it. So how could it be you're going to make a bracha on this yayin at the end of your meal, and then you're not going to drink it and save it for after benching? The one who makes a bracha on it, the one who makes Kiddush has to drink it. Gemara answers, no problem, to Tomlei. He tastes a drop of it. And in other words, he tastes just a drop and leaves the rest of the cup over for after Birkas HaMazon. So clearly, yes, we do see that according to Beis Shammai, we can have a case. not that we can have a case, but that we do not have any proof from our Mishnah that Bishamah would allow you to use up your cup of wine and not save it for benching. Indeed, you would save it for benching. You want to ask the question for Amar Mar, Ta'amai Pagmai, how could it be that you're going to drink it? You're going to turn into Yayin Pagam. The halacha is, when you make a berachas mitzvah, when you have a kais shel bracha, it can't be pagum, can't be missing anything. Once you drink out even a small amount of it, it becomes pagum. So how could it be you'll make a bracha on it at the end of your meal and then drink a little bit, then use the same kais for berachas hamazon? You can't do that because it becomes pagum. Gemara says, no, datam lebiyadei. You take a little bit out with your hand. And if you take it out with your hand, that does not make it pagum. V'ha'amar mar kais shel bracha tzarek shir. Nora's kasha is, hold on a second, if you're going to be taking a little bit out, then you're going to take away a little bit from the shear, and you won't have the proper amount that you need for a kaisha bracha. Nora says, no, denafash le mishiura, you have more than the shear. You have a generous amount of wine here, and therefore you can take a little bit out with your hand, it won't become pagum, and you'll still have enough wine for a kaisha bracha for after birkas hamazon. The Gemara continues and asks, "V'ha'ain sham elikaisay kais katani." Don't forget what we're talking about. We're discussing a case when you only have one cup of wine. That's why we have this problem in the first place, because you only have one cup of wine. The question is, when should you drink it? So now, if you take out a little bit, so then it's going to become pagum. So what do you say? You're only taking a tiny drop, and you're not making it pagum, and you have more than the shear, so you still have enough of a shear for a kais afterwards. But hold on, we're talking about a case when you only have one cup. So the Gemara says, Trei lehavi. He doesn't have enough wine to fill up two full cups with a shear of wine. Umichad nafish. So he has more than a revias of wine. He has more than the required amount for a revias. He does not have enough for two full cups of a revias. And therefore, he can't drink the whole thing for the first cup, so he drinks only a drop, but he still, even after he drinks that minute amount, he still will have enough of a shear to have a revias for a second kais shel bracha. V'atani Reb Chiya, b'shami eimer mevarach al yayin v'shoseyu, v'yachakach mevarach birkas hamazon. But clearly, it's how can you tell me that he just is tayim? He just drinks a little bit. It seems very clear over here. Tanya Reb Chiya b'sham emir mevarach al yayin v'shay sehu. It's very hard to say v'shay sehu means you take your finger and dip it in and take a little taste. Or even if you pour out a drop on your hand, take a little taste. That's not called shay sehu. If anybody's drinking something, you're not drinking a tiny drop. Shay sehu indicates you drank the whole cup. Gemara says, you're right, it's not clear exactly what Bishamai held. There are two different opinions with regard to what Bishamai held, but clearly this brisa that we're discussing over here needs to be going according to Bishamai, and it works both ways, and we'll just say it's talking about a case where he just drank a little bit, so he has only a little bit left. The Gemara continues by discussing the next machlekes between Bishamai and Bishillel. Before we begin this, I'm just going to give a very brief hakdama to remind everybody of a few Hilchos Tumah V'Tayra. Hilchos Tumah V'Tayra is something that we don't frequent as often as we would hope to, because we don't have, those halachas are not so relevant to us living in Galus without the Beis HaMikdash, but hopefully very soon will be very relevant to us. So this is something which, it's not rocket science, it works pretty logically, but there are a few things that we need to just keep in mind in order to understand the next Gemara. Number one, the progression of Tumah starts off with Avi Avaisa Tumah, and then after Avi Avaisa, this is all clear in the beginning of Maseches Kelim. It discusses the progression. You have Avi Avaisa Tumah, which, for example, would be a mace, and then you have somebody who touches a mace, a corpse, a dead body. That person becomes an Avatumah, and then it progresses as a Rishain, a Sheni, and a Shlishi. Generally speaking, we're not going to have a shlishi with, if we're talking about chulin, unless we're talking about something which is kachem or it's truma, we're not going to have a shlishi with tuma. And this is very important to keep in mind. This is probably the most important thing to keep in mind for today, is that mashkin. There are a number of types of mashkin. There are seven mashkin. The way to remember which mashkin they are is yad, shachat, dam. You have yayin, devash, shemen, chalav, tal, dam, and mayim. All of those are the seven mashkin. Those seven mashkin have a din midrabanan, that regardless of where they find themselves on the progression of Tumah, they always notch themselves up to a rishin l'tumah midrabanan. So any one of these mashkins, even if they're touching something which is a sheni l'tumah, they won't become a shlishi l'tumah. They will notch themselves back up to being a rishin l'tumah. Why is this? This is a din midrabanan. If you want, you could see this. Rashi quotes this in Dibur Maschal Ella Al Yedei Mashkin Shehamashkin Nasin Rishonim Midrabanan. He explains at the end, V'Chachamim Gazru Sheyiyu Mashkin Rishonim Mitamin Kli Gezer Mishamashkin Zav V'Zav Hashem Avayis Atuma Kegoyin Raika Yomem of Araglav. Since the halacha is that Mashkin Shel Zav, if it will be whether it's saliva or it's shechva zera, or other mashkin of a zav or a zava, halacha is that's always an avatuma. Chazal, therefore, were geyser on other mashkin, other liquids. Not, this doesn't include any other liquid, doesn't include any fruit juice, has to be one of those zayim mashkin. Any one of those zayim mashkin automatically knocks themselves back up to being a rishon l'tumah, and therefore they could be metame something else. So in a case where you would have a problem, it's not really a problem, but in a case where something would not be able to be metame something else, if you were to insert a liquid medium in the middle, for example, mayim, that would create a situation where you can now transfer the tumah from one keli or from one thing to another thing. So just to be very clear, if you have something which is a sheni or shlishi l'tumah, it cannot transfer tumah to something else, unless there's a liquid medium. How does liquid medium help? Because the liquid always gets notched up to a rishon l'tumah, and the rishon l'tumah can be metame something else. Now, with that said, let us begin the next machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Tana Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim, Noitlin Yadayim V'Yachakach Moiz Gnes HaKais. First you'll wash your hands, and then you're going to fill up the cup with wine. Shemata Omer Moiz Gnes HaKais. Because if you're going to suggest that a person should first pour the cup or dilute the cup of wine, Shematayim Moizgnes Akois Tchila Gezerah Shem Yitmu Mashkin Shachari Akois Machmas Yadav V'Yachzru V'Yitamu Esakois. The Shammai says we don't want you to first fill up the cup, because what's going to happen is first you'll fill up the cup, and then we're concerned that there'll be some mashkin on the outside, any one of these seven liquids will be on the outside of the cup. You're going to touch it, and then what's going to happen? You're going to be metame the kais. Why is that important? Because the liquid, the yayin that you're pouring in, is one of the zayin mashkin. You're pouring in the wine, it's going to be on the outside of the cup, then you'll touch it, and you're going to transfer tumah from your hand to the cup, and that will happen through the liquid medium, and therefore, Beis Shammai says, first wash your hands to avoid that. So the Gemara asked the question, which we already know the answer to, but the Gemara's question is, V'litmu yadayim l'kais? Just let your hands go ahead and touch. If your hands are tamei, the fact that you touch the kais should make the cup tamei. The Gemara answers, yadayim shniyasein. The hands of a person are automatically going to be a shape. They're automatically going to be notched down to a sheni latuma. V'ein sheni ois tashlishi bachulin. Ella ayidei mashkin. When we're referring to chulin, if we're not talking about truma or kachin, we're just talking about regular, everyday items, everyday foods, a yad, a hand, which is a sheni, cannot make a shlishi. So a yad, which is tameh, cannot make a cup tameh just merely by touching it. It would have to have that liquid medium in the middle, because liquid medium notches the tumah up one level to a rishon l'tumah, and now it's able to be metameh that kais. So therefore, Beis Shammai says, to be smart, first wash your hands, and then, after that, you should fill up the cup with wine. It's like this, you won't have a scenario where the wine is going to serve as a medium to be able to notch up the tumah from your hands and then transfer it to the cup. So this sounds like a very compelling argument. So why does Beis Hillel disagree with this? Why does Beis Hillel say that you should first fill up the cup and then wash your hands? Once you have this problem, they have something else they're worried about. First fill up the cup and then wash your hands. Why? If you're going to say to first wash your hands, Gezer Hashem Yitmu Mashkin Shavi Yadayim Mach Masakais V'Yachzru V'Yitmu Asayadayim. Beis Hillel says, you're going to wash your hands, and it'll be one of those days that there's no more paper towels left, and the ear dryer is not working, so your hand's going to be a little bit wet, and you're going to go ahead and touch your cup. So what's going to happen? There'll be tumah in the cup, and now the water on your hand transfers the tumah back from the cup back to your hand. So you're just back to square one. So you're going to wash your hands first, and then go ahead and touch the cup. The water on your hands is just going to bring you back to square one. You find yourself washing your hands dozens of times in the morning, and every time you touch the cup, you come tell me again. So the Gemara asked the same question. V'nitmu kais liyadayim. So even if his hands are dry, the cup will be mitami his hands. Gemara says, no, ain't kli mitami adam. A kli can't be mitami adam. A kli does not have the ability to mitami the person. V'nitmi lamashkin shebesaychai. So hold on a second. If you're telling me you're using a cup which is tamei, so then you have a bigger problem. Because your cup is tamei, you're pouring your wine into the cup, the wine becomes tamei. So how are you going to drink it? The Gemara says, "Hacha beklish nitmu achayra b'mashkin askinim." We're talking about a keli where only the outside became tamei through mashkin. The toichay tar v'gabay tamei. The halacha is when it contacts tumah on the outside, the only thing that becomes tamei is the outside of the keli and not the inside. The tnan, for we learned in the Mishnah, klish nitmu achayra b'mashkin. If you have a keli where the outside of it became tamei with mashkin, achayrov tamei in the outside becomes tamei. The top of nun beis amud beis toichai the inside v'ugnoi and the rim v'aznoi v'yadav. Aznoi and yadav are two different types of handles. Aznoi looks more like an ear, and yadav is more like it's a handle like a frying pan. So any one of those, whether it's the outside, the outside rim, or it's going to be a handle that you can use to hold the cup, like a mug could have a handle on it, or it will be a frying pan that has a longer handle, like a stick. Any one of those are going to be tahar. Nitma taychai. What happens if you have something which is tummy, which goes inside the cup? Nitma kule. The whole thing becomes tummy. So now clearly we have a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What would be worse? What do we have to worry about more? Do we have to worry that there's going to be mashkin on the outside of the keli and your tummy hands are going to transfer tumah to the keli? Or, according to Beis Hillel, we're more concerned that you're going to wash your hands and become tahar, and then you're going to have a tummy keli transferring tumah back to your hands. So, b'maik mefigi, what is the point that they are arguing about? So Beis Shammai says that Beis Hillel's scenario is never going to come up, because they say once you have a keli where the outside became tamei, you can't use the keli. And since you can't use the keli, so you have nothing to worry about. What are they worried about? They're worried that you're going to be very generous as you're pouring wine. You're going to pour it and it's going to splash. And then you're going to have wine that touches the outside, and it's going to transfer tumah. V'lekel amigzar shem yitmu hamashkin shebidayim. V'lekel amigzar shem yitmu hamashkin shebidayim b'kais. You don't have to worry about your hands becoming tameh to the outside of the keli. Why? Because you're just not going to use such a keli. Therefore, Beis Shammai says the problem that Beis Hillel was coming to avoid is not relevant. Beis Hillel savri mutul ishtamish b'klish nitma achayra b'mashkin. And they say that the Bisham Beis Hillel disagrees and says, indeed, there is no problem. A person can use a kais, can use a cup, or for that matter, any keli that the outside became tamei. And therefore, we have to worry that you're going to wash your hands. Your hands will still be a little bit wet, and the liquid on your hands is going to transfer tumah back to your hands. How about nitzaitzis? How about the fact you're going to pour it in? You're going to have these little splashes of wine. Amri nitzaitzis l'shchichi. That's not so common that a person pours a cup of wine and you have wine that spills on the outside of the cup. V'ikul amechash shem yitmu b'mashkin shebidayim machmas akais. And therefore, Beis Hillel recaps that we are indeed worried that you're going to make your hands tamei through the liquid on your hands, and therefore your hands will become tamei. Davar achar, the Gemara says another thing. Take it from matilas yedayim seuda. Beis Hillel also was concerned that you should wash your hands immediately before the seuda. So my davar achar, wasn't the previous discussion enough? Why do we have to have additional details in Beis Hillel to compel you to wash your hands first? The Gemara answers, Hachi Karmel Hu Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. The following is the way that Beis Hillel spoke to Beis Shammai. Lidid Chu, Tamrisu, Asu Lishlamish Beklish Shachar of Tmeyin, Digazrini Mishum Nitzaitis, Afilo Hachi Ha Difa, the take of Vatilas Daim Suda. Beis Hillel was not just coming to defend their own opinion, but they really wanted to defend their opinion, even according to the opinion of Beis Shammai. And what they said was, Beis Shammai, we understand that you're concerned about a person using a cup where the outside became tameh. But we want you to know that we think it's okay, we'll give it to you. We'll grant you the fact that it's concerning. But it's certainly more concerning that a person should wash his hands immediately before the meal. And therefore, Beis Hillel disagreed with Beis Shammai. And therefore, they said they should first... And therefore, Beis Hillel said, you should first pour the cup and then wash your hands. It's like this, the washing of your hands will happen immediately before the Suda. Beis Shammai Amar Mekaneach. So now getting back to our Mishnah, the third machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was, when you dry your hands, what do you do with the napkin? So again, this was not just some trivial machlokes of where to put it, of where it's... But what proper etiquette demands of you of where it should go. Rather, it's a machlokes again of great significance. And yes, this is going to take us back into the sugya of Tumah and Tahara just for a few more minutes. But Baruch Hashem, a very riveting Gemara in Hilchos Tumah and Tahara. Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mekaneach Yadav B'Mapa U'Manicha Al Shulchan. You wipe your hands on a towel. What do you do with the towel? Manicha Al Shulchan. You put it on the table. If you're going to put it on the pillow or the cushion that you're sitting next to, the same thing, a similar type of chashash. You have a cloth which you made wet. Making something wet is highly significant. Why? Because making something wet gives that medium for Tumah to transfer. Because even if Tumah moves its way down the line and it's only a Sheni LaTumah, when it gets wet, when you have one of the Zayin Mashkin which touched that Tumah, it automatically brings it back up. It raises it up a level to being a Rishon LaTumah. So they're concerned if you're going to put it on the pillow, Gzeirash Yitmu Mashkin Sheba Mapa Machmas Akeses V'yachzer V'yitmu Sayedayim. If your pillow became Tumah, then you're going to have water touch the pillow and transfer that tumah back to your handkerchief or to your napkin, and then you're going to wipe your hands on it, and then your hands become tameh. So the Mishnah, the Gemara asks a similar question: if the keses is tameh, then why can't it be metameh the mapa that handkerchief by itself? We know this answer already. The answer is ein kli metameh kli. A kli can't be metame a kli unless you can have this water in the middle. V'nitmaya kesos legavra. The Gemara says legavra gufe. Hold on a second. The person himself is touching the keses. Forget about the handkerchief is going to transfer the tumah. The person himself is going to touch that pillow. The Gemara answers ein kli metame adam. A kli can't be metame in adam. Beis Hillel Omer, ala keses. Beis Hillel says, no. Indeed, you should put that handkerchief on the keses. Why shema to Omer, ala shulchan, if you're going to say to put it on the shulchan, gzera shema yitmu maskin sebe mappa machmas a shulchan. V'yachzer v'yitmu asa oichlin. We're concerned that the keses is going to become tummy because of the shulchan, because of the table. V'yachzer v'yitmu asa oichlin, it's going to go ahead and transfer tumma to all the food you have on the table. So then the Gemara says, asks the same question. Let the table just transfer its tumah straight to the food there. Gemara says it's talking about a shulchan sheni. The same thing we spoke about earlier. The shulchan's talking about a shulchan which is a sheni l'tumah. So how could a sheni transfer tumah to food? It can't. Unless that food is going to be truma. If that food is truma, it can become a shlishi latuma. But if the food is not truma, if it's just regular chulin, then the table as a sheni latuma, a secondary level of tuma, cannot transfer tuma to the food and turn it into a shlishi, unless you have that liquid medium, which is going to automatically notch it back up to a first degree tumma, and then your first degree tumma is able to go ahead and transfer tumma to the food on the table. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, keep that handkerchief off the table, because we don't want to have any problems of transferring tumma from the table to the food. The Maika Meflagisa, what is, again, the point of their dispute? Beshame Savri also Lushamish Beshochem Shani, Xer Mishum Aichli Truma. Beshame says the whole scenario is never going to come up. This whole scenario is never going to come up. Why? Because once your table becomes tame, eat somewhere else. You can't eat on that table. Why? Because they're concerned about Aichli Truma. What happens if you're inviting your next door neighbor for a Shabbos meal, and your next door neighbor happens to be a Kayin, and he comes over and you're not concerned about this, but your table is a sheni latuma, and you serve him chalent on that table, and the chalent touches the table. Now, because you have truma. You have truma in the house, you serve him his truma chalent, he's a kayin. Perhaps maybe he brings his own truma from his house. He brings it, it becomes a shlishi latuma, and he didn't realize that. So says Beis Shammai, you can't use such a table. Beis Hillel Savri, mutlu shamash b'shulchan sheni, you can indeed use a shulchan sheni, because we have nothing to worry about. Because Oyechli Truma is reason name. What are you concerned about? The Kehanim are going to come over and they're going to get their food tame to the table. Kehanim don't do these things. Kehanim are very careful. There's reason. They make sure that they place their food, their truma, in a good kosher place, and they in a tar place, in a pure place, and they're not at all concerned. We are not at all concerned for this scenario. So again, for a Yisrael, it will never cause a problem, because a table as a sheni cannot create a third degree, a third level tumma, a shlishi the tumma by chulin. It's only by kachim or by truma where you have a problem, and the kahanim are very careful. Davar acher, ein leklin yadayim lechulin min atar, ein netilas yadayim lechulin min atara. Another point which is made is that netilas yadayim is only midrabanan. So Gemara asks the same question, my davar acher. Why do you need to introduce to me this davar acher? Again, wasn't the machlekes compelling enough in and of itself? Gemara says, "Hachi karmel hu beisul beishamai v'chi temru ma'ishna gabi oichlin dechashinon u'ma'ishna gabi yadayim delay chashinon afilu hachi ha'adifa de'en to this yadayim lechulam in a Torah mutav shiytmu yadayim bless luk midar raisa v'al yitmu oichlin disluk midar raisa." Ultimately, Hillel was making the point to beishamai. Again, we're not discounting what you said before about the chashash of the keses. But ultimately, to us, it's much more important that we're going to be worried about what happens on the table. Why? Because in the worst case, what's going to happen in your case? In your case, Beshame will touch the pillow, and then you're going to use the same handkerchief to wash your hands, and your hands become tame. All right, nishke farlach, it's not the biggest deal. But if you're going to put this handkerchief on the table, we're talking about Tumas Eichlin. Tumas Eichlin, my dear friend, says Beis Hillel, that is much more intense, that's severe, that's midaraisa. And therefore, we don't like the scenario of transferring tumma through your pillow. But if we have to choose the lesser of the two evils, we'd rather you put it down on the keses and worry about that problem another time than to actually have food which becomes tame through the liquid medium. Now, we are finished with the halachas of tumma and tara for the day. We are going to get back in to Beis Shammai and the next discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In our Mishnah, we are up to the first white line on Nun Beis Amud Beis Beis Shammai Omer Mechabdim. We had this discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Do you clean up the table first before Mayim Achreinim, or do you first wash Mayim Achreinim and then you clean up the crumbs off the table? Turn around on Beis Shammai Omer Mechabdim Esabayis V'Achkach Neitul Niyadayim. First, a person should clean up and then wash your hands. Shema Toimer Neitul Niyadayim Tchila. If you're going to say that you wash your hands first, nimtzata mafsidus oichlin, you're simply going to cause the food to get ruined, because everyone's going to be splashing tons of water all over the place. It's going to be a big mess, and all the food on the table is going to get ruined. You can skip the next line from the word aval netilas yadayim until after the word mishum pirurin. If you look, there's a little mark from the Bach there. The Bach takes out that line, and we're going to take out that line as well. Beis Hillel Aimrim, Beis Hillel says, im shamash talmud chacham hu, if the one who is serving is the Talmud Chacham, Neitel Pirurin, Sheish Ben Kezayis, Maniach Pirurin, Shein Ben Kezayis. Says Beis Hillel, if you have the one who is serving, who is at the table, is a Talmud Chacham, so he knows not to leave pieces of bread on the table, which are more than a kezias. And therefore, we have nothing to worry about. There's no, won't be a problem with hefsed eichlin because we're talking about very small pieces. Sayel el Rabbi Yechanan. This is a proof to the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Don Rabbi Yechanan piruin sheim ben kezias mutal avdan biyad. If you have small little pieces of bread which are less than a kezias, a person can just discard them. So b'maykum efigisa. What is the subject of the machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai savri aser l'shtamash b'shamash amaretz. Sorry, Beis Hillel savri aser l'shtamash b'shamash amaretz. Beis Hillel says a person should not have someone serving him in his house if the person is an amaretz. And therefore, he'll always know what to do. And this is very significant, especially in the times of the Mishnah. We just discussed the whole Amud of being careful exactly how to handle food. Because if you handle it incorrectly, it's not just like Basar B'chalav. You have a whole, you have added halachas on top of that with regard to Tumah and Taira. And now we're seeing halachas of Baal Tashchis. So therefore, says Beis Hillel, don't even bother getting someone to serve you if he doesn't know these halachas. And therefore, if he knows the halachas, he'll take off the large pieces of bread, and you don't have to worry about the water from Mayim Achrayim spilling all over it. The Shamash Savri, the Shamash says, "Mutlu Shamash b'Shamash Amaretz." You can indeed use a Shamash, someone to serve you who is not a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he was concerned about washing your hands first because you're going to ruin the bread. Amar Rav Yisro Ben Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, B'kulei Pirkei Halacha Kebeis Hillel, Bar Mehad Halacha Kebeis Shamay, says Reb Yosef Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, that in this entire parak, in every one of the other eight disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we're going to paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. However, says Reb Yosef Bar Chanina, in this case, we do paskin like Beis Shammai, and therefore you should wash your hands first, but that does not last too long. Reb Oshia Masni Ipcha, Bahanami Halachik Beis Hillel, Oshia learns the opposite and says, no, indeed we do paskin like Beis Hillel here as well. Next case, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ner u'Mazon. First, you do Ner, and then Mazon. If you go back to the Mishnah, you see Beis Shammai says, first Ner, then Mazon, then Besamim, then Avdalah. Beis Hillel agrees that Ner comes first and Avdalah comes last. The discussion is whether you do Besamim first, or you're going to do Mazon first, which is benching. Because it's talking about a case where a person has still not benched from the Shalosh Udas yet. So he still has to bench. The question is, where does he put that bracha in with regard to the other brachas? Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ikla LeBei Rava. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, he came to visit Rava, and Chazi LeRava DeBarach HaBesamim Bereshe. He saw that he made a bracha on Besamim first. Amar Leh, he said to Mechti, let's see what's going on here. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Amar Leh Pligi. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not argue on Ner. On Ma'ar, they both agree it should come first. So why is it that you're doing Besamim first? D'tanya, if we learned in the Brayse, Besamim Emrim Ner, Mazayin, Besamim Avdala. Beis Hillel Emrim Ner, Besamim Avdala, Ner, Besamim Mazayin Avdala. So again, everyone agreed that Ner comes first. The question was, how do you continue from there? Do you continue with Besamim or with Mazayin, with Berkas HaMazayin? Ani Rava Basrei, Rava, he answered him, so he says, Zudiv Remeir. This is the words of Remeir. So here clearly is where we see that the Tana of our Mishnah from the previous staff was Remeir. Those words were indeed the opinion of Remeir. Avor Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And he says, "Lenechaku beShamay beSilah al-Mazay shubetchila." They do not disagree about the fact that Mazay comes first. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Birkas HaMazay will come first, and then Alval Havdala, and Havdala comes at the end. Shehiba Saif. The machlekes is, do you do first, or do you do besamim first? First, you're going to make the bracha of Barim Ari Eish, and then you're going to make the bracha on besamim. Beis Hillel says you do besamim, and afterwards you do ma'ar. As we know, we are noyeg like Beis Hillel, that we do besamim first, and then afterwards ma'ar. The simin that's given in Shulchan Aruch for this is to remember the word yavne. Yayin, besamim, ner, havdala. There is others have another way of memorizing it, which is yayin, because you drink it first, and then you slowly progress up to Besama, which goes to your nose, and then Ner, you use your eyes to see, and Havdalah is something which you're being mavdi because it's the Chal. So if you progressively go up in your senses, the functions of your head, that's how you remember which one to do first. Bishami Aimrim. We're not done. Bishami Aimrim. Shabara. Bishami says Shabara. The word that you're going to use is Shabara in past tense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light. Amar Rava. Bibara Kuliyama Lai Pligi. When it comes to Bara, no one disagrees. Debara Mashma. Debara Mashma, that it is past tense. Ki Pligi Bibare. The discussion is with Bairei. Bishami Savri. Bairei Da'asid. Bairi means he will create. Basil Savri, Bairi Nami Debara Mashma. Bairi also has that indication that it means he HaKadosh Baruch Hu previously created light. Masr of Yosef, Yotzer Ar Uvairi Chayshach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was Bairi, he created darkness. Yotzer Harim Ubairi Ruach. Bairei Hashemayim v'neteyem. So clearly we see all these psukim which are using the word bairei to refer to an instance in past tense. Ella Amar Rav Yosef bebara u'bairei kuliyam le'pligi debara mashma. When everyone agrees that the word bairei or the word bara both indicate past tense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. Ki pligi b'ma'ar u'ma'airei. The words of ma'ar u'ma'airei. V'shamei sarei chadenahera ika. Benura beisil savri tuva nahira ik benura. So really, the machlekes is not in the words bara ubayre. The words is the machlekes is you say ma'ar ha'esh or ma'ayre esh. Is it a single? You use a single term or do you use it in plural? Is it a singular term? Do you say ma'ayre esh? And the machlekes is how much light is in one fire? How many colors do you have? Again, it seems to be it's referring to what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, because you could simply look at a fire and see that there's numerous colors in it. So again, it seems like they're discussing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Tanya Namihachi, Amalam Besula Beshamai, Harbi Ma'aris Yesh Be'ar. There are a number of Ma'aris in R. There are lots of different colors inside the R. Just get one more Gemara in. I think we can do it. Ein Mevarchin. Bishlom a ner, the Mishnah tells us you can't make a bracha on a ner shel akum. Bishlom a ner mishum delay shavas. There's a halacha that when you want to make a bracha on a ner, it has to be a ner shel shavas. It can't be a ner that was kindled on fire, which even though the non-Jew is allowed to light the fire, but ultimately the fire was kindled on Shabbos. Ela b'sam of my time, why can't you use b'sam of a non-Jew? My time aloy, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hachav b'mesibas ovdei k'chav maskim. Talking about it's b'sam coming from a party of real idol worship. In other words, it was really used as avodah zarah. Mipnei shestam mesibas ovdei k'chavim avodah zarah. We assume that that party was to serve avodah zarah. Hamid Tony seif ein mevarchin loy al aner loy al b'sam shel avodah zarah. Machal deresh lab avodah zarah askinan. How can you tell me that what we are worried about? In the first case is besamim that was used for avodah zarah. It's clearly spelled out in the next line of the Mishnah. You can't use besamim of avodah zarah, and that would obviously indicate that the first line is not talking about that. Amar Chanina, Misura, Matam Kamar. You're right. The Mishnah is just explaining itself. It's not two different dinim, which is Matam Emivarkin Laya Ner Vlaya Besamim Shalakim. Why can't you use the Ner? And the b'sam of an akum, b'pnei stam mesiva the tzavidik achavim avodah zarah. We assume that when you have avdei avodah zarah, we get together to have a mesiva. What are they doing at that meal? They're serving avodah zarah, and therefore you can't use their fires or their b'samim. All right, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.